RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, read by Yubi. First, the headlines. Indonesia and Italy signed contracts worth $1,055 billion. Indonesian government ascertains rice stocks is safe. Indonesian government holds national agricultural working meeting. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo said the visit of Italian President Sergio Mattarella, who was accompanied by a 30-member business delegation, will result in work contracts valued at $1,055 billion. President Jokowi said at a joint press conference at the Merdeka Place in Jakarta on Monday that he and the Italian president have just discussed efforts to increase bilateral economic relations. He said they discussed four main issues. He added that the first issue that was discussed concerned cooperation in leather industry, fashion and infrastructure, while the second one was related to cooperation in the field of tourism. President Joko Widodo said the third main issue they talked about during the meeting was cooperation in the fields of energy, including the use of crude palm oil as a source of renewable energy. According to President Joko Widodo, the fourth issue that he discussed with the Italian president was increasing cooperation in the field of interfaith dialogues. President Joko Widodo also pointed out that the relations between Indonesia and Italy have been showing an upward trend with each passing year. The two-way Indonesian-Italy trade was recorded at $4.01 billion in 2014, while the Italian investment stood at $63.02 million. In addition, the number of Italian tourists visiting Indonesia during the same year totaled 68,000 persons. Indonesian Minister of Agriculture Amran Sulaiman stated that Indonesia has secured rice stocks until the year end of 2015. It was stated after delivering remarks at the National Agricultural Working Meeting 2016 in Jakarta on Monday. According to Minister Amran, Indonesia is currently experiencing rice production increase in several rice production centers. Furthermore, rain has also fallen in some regions in Indonesia that support agricultural production development. In addition, Minister Amran Sulaiman said that Indonesia has also secured rice reserve in the National Logistics Agency with 1.5 million tons. We believe that the rains will continue. Now you can read the last Monday that there were 5,300 tons of rice that has entered Cipinang. Normally it's only reached 2,500 to 3,000 tons. It shows that production is still stable. We also have 1.5 million tons of rice stocks in Bulog that is above the national rice needs for the next 30 days. We don't have to be worried. Indonesian food security in 2015 is considered better than the last 1998 in facing El Nino phenomenon. According to Minister Amran, in 1998, Indonesia imported 7.1 tons of rice to secure food security in Indonesia. However, in 2015, Indonesia faced a higher El Nino escalation. Indonesia has been able to curb the rise in imports and to save the state budget with nearly 80 trillion rupiah. Indonesian government is holding the National Agricultural Development Working Meeting 2016 entitled Agricultural Modernization to Support Strategic Commodity Production Development in Jakarta on Monday. The meeting is aimed at evaluating agricultural performance in 2015 and preparing development steps to be taken to face 2016. Indonesian Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman, after opening the working meeting, stated that in 2015, the agriculture minister has been able to increase rice production within the country even the middle of the El Nino phenomenon.
Rapat kerja nasional mengevaluasi tahun 2015 dan mempersiapkan.
This is a national working meeting to evaluate our work in 2015 and to prepare 2016. Thanks to all the work we have done with significant results, we can imagine how strongly the El Nino hit, but we could survive for 1 year not to import rice.
Sekarang ini El Nino-nya sangat kuat, tapi masih bisa bertahan satu tahun pemerintahan tidak import beras.
In his remarks at the National Working Meeting, Minister Amran also delivered guidance regarding agricultural insurance to be provided for the funding compensation for farmers affected by drought. According to him, the fund has been prepared and is ready to be delivered for farmers affected. The National Agricultural Development Working Meeting was attended by Agriculture Department delegates from all over Indonesia and the Indonesian Armed Forces that are ready to cooperate to achieve self-sufficiency target on rice and to increase strategic commodities production in Indonesia. The Indonesian Immigration Authorities in Palu, Central Sulawesi has deported one of the 5 Chinese nationals for not having passports and legal working permits, an immigration officer stated. Head of the Surveillance and Law Enforcement Unit of Palu City's Immigration Office, Sunario, noted in Palu on Monday that the other 4 Chinese nationals cannot yet be deported as the investigation process is still ongoing. Sunario remarked that they will be deported soon after the investigation process was completed, but he did not reveal the names of the Chinese nationals who had entered and worked in Indonesia without having the required documents. He pointed out that the immigration office's investigators found that the Chinese nationals were arrested as they did not have passports and legal documents for working in a mining company in Buol district. As migrant workers, they must have working permits issued by the workforce ministry, he said, adding that the local people living around the mining company helped the immigration authorities to arrest the Chinese nationals. Indonesia has vowed to tighten supervision to check illegal import and export of commodities after seizing illegally imported textile products and illegally exported mineral and coal products, a minister said. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that 4 containers of illegally imported textile products and 80 containers of illegally exported mineral and coal products were seized. The minister said at a press briefing in Jakarta on Monday, the Customs and Excise Directorate General will do its best to prevent illegal import and export of commodities because these practices threaten Indonesia's economy. He said in preventing smuggling in Indonesia, the Customs and Excise Directorate General needs to work in synergy with and support from ministries and authorized institutions closely related to the trade. He also pointed out that the synergy and coordination are very significant for the success of Indonesia's effort to crack down on smugglers, protect the domestic industries, strengthen logistics and investment, and optimize the state income. A researcher of the Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, Riwanto, has urged the government to anticipate inter-island migration as one of the after-effects of the CETOL development program. According to Riwanto, the CETOL program will facilitate people to move from one region to another. Therefore, Riwanto believes that the CETOL development program should also incorporate programs or effort to facilitate healthy migration. He explained, migration can turn unhealthy if the indigenous people feel that the new settlers are demanding the utilization of local natural resources. Moreover, he pointed out, The migrants are usually more educated and have greater financial resources than the indigenous people. To anticipate such a problem, the government should issue regulations on the mechanism of utilization of natural resources in each region. The government should also organize training courses for the indigenous people so that their skills will be similar with the newcomers. In fact, he emphasized, the Asian Economic Community, AEC, will boast not only migrations among Indonesia's islanders, but also the people from neighboring countries keen to utilize Indonesia's economic potential. That's the news of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here is commentary.
Hero's perspective today. Indonesian First President Sukarno once said that one should never forget one's history. A great nation should always appreciate the services of its heroes. Heroes are willing to sacrifice their life in order to maintain and sustain the country. Without their services, the Indonesian cannot become what it is today. Therefore, it is only natural that people should always remember and appreciate the struggle and sacrifice of the heroes. Especially because this nation's history has proven that the independence of Indonesia is not a gift handed over by other nation, but was a result of the struggle and sacrifice of the freedom fighters or founding fathers of the country. They fought and sacrificed everything, including their lives, from pioneering, sizing, to maintaining the independence, which was echoed through the proclamation of August 17, 1945. And today, November 10th, is commemorated as the Heroes' Day because on this day, in 1945, the Indonesian Army first battled with the foreign troops after the proclamation of Indonesian independence. The incident is one of the greatest battles in the history of the Indonesian War of Independence and became a national symbol of Indonesia's resistance against colonialism. The battle, which took place in the city of Surabaya, East Java, was a momentum to affirm the legitimacy of the military's role in the struggle for independence. Although at that time the freedom fighters only used simple weapons and many even just used bamboo spears, this never made them afraid to fight the invaders. One key figure at that time was Bung Tomo, who was able to ignite the spirit of people's struggle through his speeches on the radio. When viewed from different angles or perspective on heroism in today's era, it is very unfortunate that the quality of Heroes Day commemoration nowadays is noticeably declined from year to year, especially among the younger generation. It seems that the younger generation is increasingly not living up to the meaning of the hero. The impression is, Heroes Day commemoration only put forward the ceremony element alone, without understanding the values of the hero's struggle. It is really ironic, for it is only appropriate if the younger generation are able to give a new meaning to heroism by feeling the independence according to the times. It is hoped in the current era will emerge many heroes in all areas of life, will emerge that Indonesia is able to realize a peaceful, fair, and democratic country, free from all forms of corruption. Hopefully, the momentum of Heroes Day becomes a mandate for Indonesian people to always fight to be the heroes in their respective fields. Well, listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is Area Reward Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. A regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with November the 10th, 1963, the holding of the Games of the New Emerging Forces or GANEFO in Jakarta. The Games of the New Emerging Forces GANEFO were the games set up by Indonesia in late 1962 as a counter to the Olympic Games, established for the athletes of the so-called emerging nations, mainly newly independent socialist states. GANEFO made it clear in its constitution that politics and sports were intertwined. This ran against the doctrine of the International Olympic Committee, which strove to separate politics from sport. With its motto, "Ever onward, never retreat," GANEFO was followed by 2,000 athletes from 51 countries in Asia, Africa, Latin America, and also from Europe. Indonesia established GANEFO in the aftermath of IOC censure for the politically charged 4th edition of Asian Games in 1962 in Jakarta, which Indonesia hosted and for which Taiwan and Israel were refused entry cards. The IOC's eventual reaction was to indefinitely suspend Indonesia from the IOC. This was the first time the IOC suspended one of its members. Over now to 1945. Heavy fighting in Surabaya between Indonesian nationalists and returning colonialists after World War II, today is celebrated as Heroes Day or Hari Pahlawan. Hari Pahlawan, Indonesian for Heroes Day or Warriors Day, is a remembrance day annually celebrated on November the 10th in Indonesia. The day commemorates the 1945 Battle of Surabaya, in which pro-independence Indonesian soldiers and youth militia fought against British and Dutch troops as part of the Indonesian National Revolution. The Battle of Surabaya was fought between pro-independence Indonesian soldiers and militia against British and British Indian troops as part of the Indonesian National Revolution. The peak of the battle was in November 1945. The battle was the heaviest single battle of the revolution and became a national symbol of Indonesian resistance. Considered a heroic effort by Indonesians, the battle helped galvanize Indonesian and international support for Indonesian independence. November the 10th is celebrated annually as Heroes Day or Hari Pahlawan until now. By the time Allied forces arrived at the end of October 1945, the Pemuda or youth foothold in Surabaya city was described as a strong unified fortress. Ferocious fighting erupted on October the 30th when 600 Indian troops perished alongside the British commander, Brigadier General A.W.S. Mellaby. The British retaliated with a punitive sweep that began on November the 10th under the cover of air attacks. Although the European forces largely captured the city in 3 days, the poorly armed Republicans fought for 3 weeks and thousands died as the population fled to the countryside. Despite the military defeat suffered by the Republicans and a loss of manpower and weaponry that would severely hamper Republican forces for the rest of the revolution, the battle and support of independence help garner international attention. For the Dutch, it removed any doubt that the Republic was not simply a gang of collaborators without popular support. It also had the effect of convincing Britain that wisdom lay on the side of neutrality in the revolution, and within a few years, in fact, Britain would support the Republican cause in the United Nations. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today's focus is on Indonesia not ready to join Trans-Pacific Partnership or TPP. Stay tuned. It is not yet the time for Indonesia to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership or TPP led by the United States. The reason is Indonesia's economy cannot yet be forced to follow the rules in the TPP that uses developed country standards. Professor of Faculty of Economic and Business, University of Indonesia in Jakarta, Firmanza says, in contrast to partnership agreements in the general trade, points in TPP agreement are very rigid, closed, and undemocratic in decision-making. During this time, official rules in TPP have not been known to the public. In fact, this cooperation has a broad impact on the life of many people. Firmanza proposed that the government establish a task force across ministries or agencies to comprehensively discuss the advantages and disadvantages before deciding to join the TPP. The problem is, TPP is not just liberalizing trade in goods and services, but also unifying the rules of almost all aspects of the economy. Therein also regulated trade in the government's goods or services, environmental, labor, small and medium businesses problems. Thus, many laws have to be changed if Indonesia becomes a part of the TPP. He also believes Indonesia should choose other cooperation agreements which are more friendly than the TPP. Firmanza is of the opinion that the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP, is more suitable for Indonesia compared to the TPP, since ASEAN has become a central point in every decision-making in the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. Related to that, economic expert from Petra University Devi says, discourse on Indonesia joining the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which consists of 12 countries including the United States, Canada, Australia, Japan, and New Zealand, should be decided carefully. Indonesia's condition is not yet able to meet the high standards set by the Pacific Countries Partnership. Devi emphasized bureaucratic problems as well as high level of domestic consumption become a problem that must be solved immediately. Moreover, there are domestic problems that need to be addressed. For example, in the monetary sector, the volatility of the exchange rate is still very high, making it vulnerable to shock. To that end, the government has been asked to clean up the business structure of the country in order to be strong and competitive, so it is able to compete. If the government insists on joining TPP, it is not unlikely that it will become a victim later. He suggested that Indonesia should now better focus on increasing trade among the islands, as well as increasing domestic economy, which will provide more benefits than international free trade. Meanwhile, researcher from the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF, Bima Yudhistira Adinegara, feared that Indonesia will only become a market and exporters of raw materials in the context of the very liberal competition in the TPP. According to Bima, with a large population as a market, Indonesia has become a bone of contention for both the US and China to join into one of the trade blocks. Listener, that was Focus Today.
Here is the news in brief. President Joko Widodo said the visit of Italian President Sergio Mattarella, who was accompanied by a 30-member business delegation, will result in work contract value at $1,055 billion. Indonesian Minister of Agriculture Amran Sulaiman stated that Indonesia has secured rice stocks until the year end of 2015. It was stated after delivering remarks at the National Agriculture Working Meeting 2016 in Jakarta on Monday. Indonesian government holding the National Agriculture Development Working Meeting 2016 entitled Agricultural Modernization to Support Strategic Commodity Product Development in Jakarta on Monday. The meeting is aimed at evaluating agricultural performance in 2015 and preparing development steps to be taken to face 2016. The Indonesian immigration authorities in Palu, Central Sulawesi has deported one of the five Chinese nationals for not having passports and legal working permits, an immigration official stated. Indonesia has vowed to tighten supervision to check illegal import and export of commodities after seizing illegally imported textile products and illegally exported mineral and coal products, a minister said. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that the four containers of illegally imported textile products and 80 containers of illegally exported mineral and coal products were seized. A researcher of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, Lipi Riwanto, has urged the government to anticipate inter-island migration as one of the after-effects of the CETOL development program. According to Riwanto, the CETOL program will facilitate people to move from one region to another. That was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder. In commemoration of the National Heroes Day, we'll take you to visit Yamato Hotel in Surabaya, East Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, today, November 10th, is commemorated in Indonesia as Heroes Day. This is to commemorate Surabaya Battle, which was occurred in 1945, where the Indonesian military, who wanted freedom, fought against British and Dutch military. The battle was the first battle of Indonesian troops against foreign troops after Indonesia's proclamation of independence, and the biggest and the greatest battle in the history of Indonesia, which became the national symbol of Indonesian struggle to fight colonialism. One of the triggers of the war is raping the flag incident in Yamato Hotel, Surabaya. Listeners, after Indonesia's proclamation of independence and announcement of Sukarno's government that was issued on August 31, 1945, decided that, started from September 1, 1945, Indonesian national flag always raising in the entire of Indonesia. The spirit expanded to the entire of Indonesian regions, including Surabaya. Meanwhile, the Dutchman, led by Mr. Plukman, raised the Dutch flag, or red, white, and blue, on September 19, 1945, at 2100 p.m. on the top of Hotel Yamato, Jalan Tunjungan, Surabaya. The next day, the youth responded angrily because they assumed that the Dutch has insulted Indonesian sovereignty, wanted to regain their power in Indonesia, and insulted the raising flag movement in Surabaya. The news quickly spread to the entire Surabaya city, and in a short time, Yamato Hotel was flooded by a furious mob. Then the negotiation was conducted, but it was failed so that the mob came into the hotel and ripped the blue color of the Dutch flag. Listeners, after the rip of the Dutch flag at Yamato Hotel, in the following day, the gun firing between Indonesian and the Dutch troops continuously occurred. The gun firing came to its climax after Brigadier General Malabi, the leader of British Army in East Java, was assassinated on October 30th, 1945. On November 10, 1945, the British Army bombarded Surabaya City through land and sea, but Indonesian Army and people of Surabaya kept fighting the attack. Consequently, it caused plenty of troops died, then is commemorated as Heroes Day. In today's Heroes Day, we will invite you to know closer to the witness of the history of November 10th event, which is still straightened until at present, namely Yamato Hotel. Listeners, Yamato Hotel, which is located at Jalan Tunjungan number 65, Surabaya, was founded by an Armenian merchant named Lucas Martin Sarkis. The hotel was built in the Art Nouveau architecture style based on the architect work of James Offrey. The development process began on June 1, 1910. The hotel was opened in 1911 under the name The Oranje Hotel, taken from the name of the royal family of the Netherlands, Oranje. The Oranje Hotel then underwent renovations in 1920s. At that time, the twin towers at the entrance gate and two blocks in the right and left sides were built. Oranje Hotel has 163 rooms, so it is the largest, the most modern, and the most famous in Surabaya. Each side of rooms connected with corridor, which is decorated with arch motif. So when the windows of the room opened, it will be sheltered from direct sunlight or tempered of rainwater. Listener, that was today's Indonesian Wonder with the topic Yamato Hotel in Surabaya. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is NRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary which will guide you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is Upacara Hari Pahlawan, or in English, Heroes Day Ceremony. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Besok. Besok. In English, tomorrow. Kantor. Kantor. In English, office. Membawa. Membawa. To bring. Mobil sendiri. Mobil sendiri. One's own car. Kendaraan umum. Kendaraan umum, public transport. Pukul 7. Pukul 7, 7 o'clock. Tanggal 10 November. Tanggal 10 November. On the 10th of November. Hari Pahlawan. Hari Pahlawan Heroes Day, upacara seremoni, menghormati, to respect, jasa, services, takut, afraid, macet, traffic jam, terlambat, belated, seragam, uniform, mulai, to begin, lapangan parkir kantor, office parking lot, pergi, to leave or to go, bersama, together, jangan terlambat, don't be late. Next is a conversation on upacara Hari Pahlawan, or in English, Heroes Day Ceremony. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Anna and Mary. Besok kamu ke kantor membawa mobil sendiri atau naik kendaraan umum? Besok kamu ke kantor membawa mobil sendiri atau naik kendaraan umum? In English, tomorrow, are you going to bring your own car or take a public transport? Besok, sebelum pukul 7 pagi, kita sudah harus sampai di kantor. Besok, sebelum pukul 7 pagi, kita sudah harus sampai di kantor. In English. Tomorrow before 7 a.m. we have to be in the office. Tanggal 10 November adalah Hari Pahlawan. Tanggal 10 November adalah Hari Pahlawan. The 10th of November is the Heroes Day. Kita harus ikut upacara untuk menghormati jasa-jasa para pahlawan. Kita harus ikut upacara untuk menghormati jasa-jasa para pahlawan. In English, we must join the ceremony to honor the service of the heroes. Lebih baik saya membawa mobil sendiri. Lebih baik saya membawa mobil sendiri. I'd better drive my own car. Saya takut macet. I'm afraid there will be traffic jam. Dan saya akan terlambat. And I'll be late. Besok kita pakai seragam apa? Tomorrow, what uniform are we going to wear? Kita pakai seragam batik. We are going to wear batik uniform. Upacara mulai pukul 7. The ceremony will begin at 7 o'clock. Di lapangan parkir kantor. At the office parking lot. Besok pagi saya ke rumah kamu. Tomorrow morning, I'll be at your place. Kita berangkat bersama ya. We are leaving together, okay? Baiklah, jangan terlambat sampai besok. Okay then, don't be late until tomorrow. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow, with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's segment of Music Corner, we'll present you to Coklat Band, which dedicate some heroic songs in commemorating the Heroes Day. Well, listener, to initiate today's Music Corner, I'll take you to listen a song entitled Tanah Air by Coklat Band. Happy listening. Coklat Band was firstly formed on June 25, 1996, and produced many works that could be enjoyed by musical lovers in Indonesia. The personnel of the band chose the name of Coklat or Chocolat because they hope their music can be accepted by all layers of people like Coklat. Coklat Band consisted of five personnel, namely Jacqueline, the vocalist, Otto, the drummer, Ernest and Edwin, guitarist, and Febrianto, the bassist, have cooperated to raise the band in the Indonesian music industry. Coklat Band presents a rock music genre like hard rock, pop rock, and pop
punk. Well, now let's listen to a song entitled Syukur by Chocolate Band. Listener, the presence of the new two personals in Chocolate Band, Jacqueline Rossi, the vocalist, and Otto Trijati Pambudi, the drummer, actually caused pro and cons among their fans. However, the presence of Jacqueline replacing Sarah Haju also brought special impact to the band that has been formed since 19 years ago. The two new personals have actually added new experiences for the band. Moreover, the band has passed ups and downs in the Indonesian music industry. It is interesting because their experiences are rarely owned by other bands. This year, all experiences will become an alternative music of Chocolate Band. Well, listener, before we end today's edition of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs by Chocolate Band entitled Kebiar Kebiar and Hari Merdeka. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.